When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Morning DNA. I am Aaron Dicer, the man of a single black shirt. She is Danae Hughes, the woman of a million distractions.
And a black shirt.
And he is the man with the gorgeous accent from beyond the sea. It's Ian Whittington joining us this morning
beyond
as well.
Beyond the sea.
Somewhere beyond the sea.
Somewhere beyond my wildest sea.
Nope, wrong one. No. Also, apparently, with a cardigan as well.
So this is Danae's birthday. So we figured we'd have a special guest on on with us. Ian's hanging out with us for a couple weeks.
He flew from London just for this birthday show.
He's literally right over here. We're touching hands. We're touching hands right now. It's amazing.
Ian, pull him. Pull him so we can see him fall.
Oh, the board is gone.
Thank you for joining us this morning. We are just a little bit late this morning because we had to grab some coffee beforehand.
When a woman wants coffee on her birthday, a woman gets coffee on her birthday.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely correct. So it's going to be the morning D-E-N-A?
But if Ian is the N in DNA, then it works.
Yes, exactly.
I will change my name. That's fine. I will just be known as N from now on.
Or Nian.
Yes.
Nian?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Something
like that. I am bothered that you're both taller than me. So hold on a second.
Yeah. If you need to fix it, feel free to.
What?
There you go. Oh, no. Ian's.
No.
Oh, sorry. Ian.
Fine. I have a solution for this. Just one second.
I don't know how long this is going to go. Hey, it worked. Nicely done.
Yeah, I'll just fix that.
Well done.
This is really strange. I literally cannot. My feet are not touching the ground right now. I feel like a kid in school. My feet are like just swinging.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we're still going to do, kind of the morning DNA show, but we'll have a little bit of an extra topic. Thanks to Ian hanging out with us today. Ian, as I think we've mentioned, is from England.
Technically not England itself. The planet England.
Is England not on the planet? Out of Europe.
No,
but we're still
on the planet. He's from the weather pattern England.
Yes. The weather pattern formerly known as the United Kingdom.
What Danae is referring to is we looked at a map of.
I'm going to see if I can pull that up. I want to show
England over the continental United States, and Danae described it as a weather pattern over Missouri. Mm. So I described it as Texas sneezing onto Oklahoma and Missouri. Mm-hmm. So in Iowa.
That happens.
I've gone from having an empire, which spans most of the earth, to a sneeze from Texas. That is quite the fall from grace.
Okay. Lolly from your neck of the woods says, southern accents.
He's not wrong.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not, but
it is. We all have southern accents.
There it is. There's Texas's sneeze.
Yeah, that's great.
So
chill.
I'm not going to say that. No. Never mind. It was red, and so but I'm not going there at all. It really is kind of like the top of Arkansas, Missouri, and Iowa. Mm-hmm. So that's not,
yeah, we're pretty small. Pretty small.
I did not realize how small, and it's blowing my mind. It's mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say thanks to everybody for all the happy birthday wishes?
Yeah. Elizabeth says, happy birthday, Danae. Greetings from a train going into Ottawa.
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 Darling, I hope you have a wonderful time. Nice. Also, hello to Baby Slab. And thank you to everybody who has been able to hop in the chat and say hi this morning. My mom is in chat. Shout out to the mom who did the work to make this my birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
1 month of brewing.
Jets Met says, what is this England you speak of? Is it near London?
No.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Question answered.
And then let's see. Joseph says, Ian talks and I have the sudden urge to hurl a crate of tea into the harbor. So just really coming with the heat, the high heat.
Poor Ian. He's like, hey, listen, I'm coming to visit and I have just a couple really important prerequisites. And one is that I have tea and milk.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Really and super easy.
Neither of those have happened.
Neither of those have happened until recently. So.
Day 7 of being in America. Ian has still not had a cup of tea.
It's true.
It's been like a week. And he's like, just drying
out. I'm dying. I'm all shriveled up inside. Like, this coffee's great, but it's very American.
Yeah. Yeah. Jagged says, is that little landmass the island Ian is always talking about? No, that's a different landmass.
How would it be acceptable for me and my accent to say Ireland?
There you go. You just did
it. But that's in an Irish accent.
With an Irish accent. If you say Ireland with an Irish accent.
Ireland.
There you go. Then you're all set.
That sounds like a pirate.
Here, I'm going to do this. You guys are already just talking to each other anyway. It's weird to be in the middle. Like, you're just looking at each other in the room.
Right. Okay. I'm going to.
You're conversing. No, go ahead. I love it. No. Just keep doing that. I love it.
Ireland. Just stop staring at me.
Stop.
Don't look at me like that.
Stop staring at me, Swan.
Gotta haze a new guy. Any ideas?
I do like being in the middle. That's cool.
Any ideas? Let me know.
Lolly says, but also Walmart has PG tips. Get your butt to Walmart.
Really? It's not my preferred tea, but it'll do.
Yeah, we can go get some PG tips. I think I need to do a Walmart run anyway. So nice. Yeah.
Like, what's a PG tip? Is that like some sort of like bathroom item? It's like a Q-tip.
What are you PG tipping it? So PG Tips is a brand, but it's like brand mascot is chimpanzees, and they have very animated chimpanzees.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes, because when I think of tea, I think of animals that throw their poop. This one's from Derrida, who says, is England something from Star Trek?
I mean, this England is something from Star Trek. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Nice. Let's see.
Ian coming to America is like the reverse Ted Lasso.
I mean, this is where I make my debut announcement that I'm going to be coaching a sports ball team.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't decided what sport yet.
Yeah, yeah. Lolly coming in with the help from a fellow UKer. Walmart has PG tips and Tetley's.
Now Tetley's is good. Tetley's is very good.
All right, yeah. All right.
Okay.
Now we know what to look like.
Just not Yorkshire tea.
However, Yorkshire tea does our local Walmart have this, or we're going to have to go on the hunt?
Don't tease me.
Okay. We'll go to the big one. See them looking at each other? It's so cute.
Bye, Danae. Well, that's great. That took like 9 minutes.
I missed her already.
I had to be there. I was like, how did I get back so fast?
It's your birthday. You have to be here for your birthday.
Yeah. So
we were having the conversation in the vehicle over on the way to get coffee because, yes, the three of us went and got coffee together this morning.
As I demanded.
As Danae demanded on her birthday. Yep. We were having the conversation that in many ways, what Danae is experiencing now between Ian and I, we all experience with the other two at some time.
Very like, true.
Okay, you two are going to gang up on me now. I get it. I see what's going on here.
We each have two of a person now.
Yes. Right? Yeah, that's fun. All right, so we're going to... You want to shoe a dough, Danae? You want to shoe a dough?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So we're going to do the D, Ian... A and you. So we're going to do a D topic, an A topic, and an Ian topic as well. So we're going to talk about some stuff and then save your you questions for the end. We'll get through as many as we can. D, you get to talk, kick us off. What's your D topic today?
I am going to be talking about birthday memories because that's just an easy reach. However, I did write that and then didn't save because we were having some issues with the background. So let me, Aaron, Ian, quick, talk.
Vamp? You want us to vamp? Ian, talk about the time you met Danae's dogs.
Oh, I met the puppies. I met the puppies in real life. So there was definitely a, this smell is new. So Reese has decided to immediately be inside of my mouth for as long as possible.
And with that, you know what? I'm back. It's great. We're ready to go. A really easy reach. Just birthday memories. I think like we all have some birthday that stands out. I have a few. My mom and dad used to put together pretty big birthday parties for me when I was growing up. And one of the ones I remember the most, and these might all be like converged and like together, but my mom had this big birthday weekend thing planned. And so I had a whole bunch of friends come over to the house for a sleepover. And because my dad was building an addition onto our house, we had essentially a door that used to lead into this small like little annex or something. And he tore that down and built this big, huge open room that they were going to split up into multiple kind of, you know, rooms. But at the time, it was just this one big open room. And so I got to have all my friends pile in there with like sleeping bags and stuff on the floor. And of course, we had cake and a party. And I think there was a scavenger hunt maybe to the mall. And again, I might be combining multiple birthdays, but you know how your brain makes its own memories sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally.
Could be dealing with that. But it was so fun because there was just so many people that I enjoyed spending time with. And it was a blast. That may also be the birthday where Wayne's World soundtrack was really popular. And so we did headbanging to Bohemian Rhapsody. And I think I have a picture of like little Danae standing on the daybed in my room that had paint splattered all over the wall. And like I was able to draw on my walls growing up. My mom let me draw my walls, my parents rather. And so I could like, you know, be really artistic and stuff. So all of this stuff going on, I'm skipping so many details I want to share with you, but there's friends everywhere and I'm headbanging. And so my hair is like in that huge like arc of hair along with all of my other friends. It was like this epic picture of all of us headbanging to Bohemian Rhapsody and passing out after having a high of birthday cake sugar. And that was a really fun memory for me. So awesome. I thought that I would just ask you guys if you had fun little memories moments.
Lolly says, my birthday is April 1st. Every year my dad would joke that I overslept and missed my birthday because it was 2nd of April now every year.
Never gets old.
That's a good dad right there.
That's a good dad.
I also have a child born on the 1st of April. It is a fun birthday. Fun birthday indeed. I'm just trying to think of like a birthday memory. And the only one I remember, we had a house in Ohio that had a deck that was probably, I don't know, 10 to 15 feet off the ground. And I remember one birthday, my friends and I decided that we were going to jump off that deck, you know, and that was just going to be like, we were going to do the risky thing and take the leap and do it. And so that was like a really exciting birthday because all of my friends made that jump and I was like, nah, I'm good. And it was that birthday that I realized, no, I don't have to prove anything.
That's not me.
That's not me. I'm just not that guy. It's like, you guys are cool and everything. Feel free, but I'm going to stay up here with the cake and ice cream.
That's where you belong. Like cake and ice cream. Where I belong. You got to get your good
slice. I
watched
each of them like land and like roll and stuff. And I'm like, that doesn't look great. It doesn't look fun to me. I don't know.
I like my knees.
That's really, really interesting.
What kind of cake do you like for your birthday, Aaron? As a super
now,
taster.
Yeah. Lemon cake is great. I love lemon cake. Back then it was chocolate. I still like a good moist chocolate cake. Here's the thing. I hate icing. So I just ate the cake. Like I would take all the icing off and, you know, give it to whoever my friends liked icing. And it was just eat the cake because the icing was too sweet for me. So yeah, but cake is nice because it's got a nice like density to it that doesn't feel like it's overly sweet. It's like a bread, like that bread part of it, you know.
Is it like a biscuit?
It's like a biscuit, which we will get more into in my topic this morning. So, but yes. Let's see. White Ox says, my 3rd grade birthday, my parents invited all the kids in my class. We had pizza and played games outside. One of my neighbors threw up. It was great.
As all great stories end.
Let's see. Real Monkey says, ah, my grandma used to make amazing devil food cake, which is really lovely chocolate cake. I miss them. Haven't had one for years. Yeah, devil's food is
good stuff. Maybe that would have been a better topic, is your favorite kind of cake. I love cake so much.
What is your favorite today?
Strawberry cake. But it's got to be from a very specific person. And that's the trickiest part, is because when you have the perfect cake, that or the best bite you've ever had, you realize that this was made by someone in this very specific moment, and you might not be able to repeat this ever again. So if you can find that person that continues to make cake, make them your best friend.
Keep them close.
Keep them close. Oh my gosh, so good.
That Weeda says, I got a baby cousin for my 10th birthday.
Aww.
Oh, there you go. That's fun.
It's kind of strange they gave a 10-year-old a baby, but okay.
Yeah, let's be clear, like your own child, or, you know, somehow your own cousin was your, like, how does that work? If it's your baby and your cousin,
I'm gonna be rude. I feel like when you're 10 and it's your birthday and someone else has a baby, it usurps your own birthday, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then the adults are like, you got a baby for your birthday, to try to make the 10-year-old
make it
feel
better.
Important.
Nope.
But when in reality, it's not about you anymore. So maybe you're saying that you got one because you've been conditioned to think that was fun for you. In reality, where are your presents? Where's the attention that you deserve?
Yeah. Yep. Sure.
Sorry. I'm rude.
Castroff has kind of a good outlook on that, dealing with a Christmas birthday. My birthday's the day after Christmas. I love it. It feels like everyone is celebrating my birthday already. that is a nice silver lining to that whole Christmas birthday thing, where it's like, do I get as many presents as I would if my birthday was in
the May? Answer is no, you don't.
No, you probably
my
don't.
My dad's the same. He's born on the 29th.
Yeah. Let's see. Danae, another birthday wish. Maid Reaper 338. Happy birthday, Danae. Much love from your friends in Ranch Farm. Hearts.
My ranch fam. So, my RP ranch fam. Hey,
ranch
thank
fam.
You.
Yes, correct.
And thanks to Jets Absolutely. And Chris for your subs on Twitch. You guys are amazing. I appreciate you so much.
Real Mikey says, German chocolate is my favorite cake to have on my birthday. That's a good one. Ice cream cake can be good, too. Like a good ice cream cake, that works well, too.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, never mind. Ian, any good birthday memories?
Yeah, my 18th was pretty memorable.
Yeah.
It was kind of all of my friends from college came over, and we set up kind of everyone had a function in a different room. So one room had the Xbox going. The other room was like, we've got some card games going on. We got some board games. And about 3 hours into the party, I kind of realized that there were less people in the house than there were supposed to be. I was like, where is everyone? Where have they all gone? And I head upstairs to my bedroom, and my best buddy, Tom, who is Mormon, was giving a sermon in my bedroom. and he had managed to cultivate quite the following. And because they were all kind of, we were all 18, we were all kind of curious. Uh-huh. And everybody knew that my friend was Mormon and had the standard questions.
Right.
And said, is it okay if we ask? And he loved it. He is such a public speaker. He chaired all of the questions.
It's amazing.
They were
it's
all
amazing.
Cross-legged on the floor. Yeah, I was like, yep, well, I guess this is my party now.
That's incredible.
Tell us about the special underwear. Tell us about the special underwear. That would be that would be my first question.
When did you find out about did you know about the special underwear when you were younger?
I've studied the Mormon religion a little bit. It's fun stuff. It's interesting stuff. Yeah.
Go on. Tell everybody about the special underwear.
No. That would just be my first question.
Hey, Ian, I'm going to change
underwear.
Your question for today to what is a special Mormon underwear? So that one.
I have some answers that Tom may not approve of, but nothing officially Mormon.
Let's see. What is this from That's Not My Name 2? Last year, I made myself a dark chocolate cake with screwball ganache. Mm. It was pretty good. I don't even know some of those words. Somebody help me out who knows cooking more. What is a ganache?
I think that is like a berry compote.
Oh, like a compote? Yeah.
I think.
But what is a screwball?
I think that's
I don't know.
I thought that was a drink.
No.
Is it?
Ganache isn't a drink.
No, not a ganache, but a screwball is a drink.
Oh, the screwball. Yeah, that might be.
So what if it was a screwball ganache drink? Like a chocolate, dark chocolate cake with an alcoholic beverage.
If only we had access to some kind of internet superhighway where we could find out for certain.
Go ahead, you do it today.
The answer is a peanut butter whiskey.
Mm.
If only we had a way to have looked that up ourselves and sound like we know what we're doing.
Would have been great.
Real Monkey says, I had another great birthday where I visited Krakow in Poland. It was a lovely...
Sorry.
That's all the locals say it. Yeah. No, that is so definitely...
Sorry.
Yeah,
I have a lot of energy this morning. I am so sorry.
When you ask somebody from there where they live, they're like, Krakow! Yeah. Anyhow, it was a lovely visit. Lots of lovely food and drink. Krakow is a beautiful city. So thank you, Real Monkey, for that. Ganache is a thick chocolate.
That
so I'm still a little bit confused about... So the screwball ganache is like a thick chocolate with peanut butter whiskey in it, I'm guessing.
Probably.
Inside the cake. That sounds fascinating.
We are going to need a lot of answers before we can move on. But yeah. Also, Lolly is right. We need more bake-off in our life.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
I don't know how that's going to work. But yeah, that's a ganache.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's like the icing. Maybe you put the whiskey and the icing in somehow.
That does sound good.
This sounds like us trying to figure out complicated recipes.
Listen, me trying to talk alcoholic anything is always going to be a trip. I just don't know my way around.
But we're
the
like
bar,
trying
so.
To deconstruct a really simple explanation. Like I've been watching Top Chef because I didn't watch the most recent season, so I'm just now watching the most recent season. And
Jamie's amazing. I love Jamie.
So I'm watching it, and you know how they come to the table and they're like, today I have for you a fortified pea crust, reduced with a, and then they like insert all these incredible words. I don't know what they mean. I don't know what the foods are. I've never heard of this stuff before. That's what we're doing now. We're taking that sentence and trying to figure out what that means. We're deconstructing the one sentence explanation. So
yeah,
it's great. It's wonderful.
That's Not My Name Too says, I guess I'll make another one and bring it for Sin Week. Yeah,
yes!
You will. Yeah, you will.
Which is coming.
Sin Week tickets will be available for purchase to the public next week. So that's...
Yeah, you guys want to join us in Nashville? Watch for those tickets to go on sale because they're not going to last. We don't have very many seats.
I think currently, yeah, there are about 30 tickets left. So yeah, they are going fast. All right, let's move on to the Ian topic.
Yeah.
Ian, what do you got?
What level of audience participation are you comfortable with at a show?
A live show?
So, yeah, this was inspired by our trip to the cinema yesterday, and people were very vocal. And it wasn't necessarily one of those films you would expect. And in England, like, it has to be hilarious to get a, otherwise it is... deathly silent, but that kind of goes for shows, live shows, recordings, whatever, anything where there is an audience. I would probably exclude a gig or concert from that, because from that I don't expect everybody to be silent and just standing still and nodding in acceptance, but kind of like a play or a cinema experience.
Yeah, it was interesting for you saying it, because I will tell you, we went to see Ghostbusters Afterlife was the movie, right? And we went last night, and I didn't think there was a ton of audience interaction at all. Like, people were laughing when it was funny and those kind of things.
They should not do that.
And Ian, we get in the vehicle afterwards, and Ian is like, are they always that noisy? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
That was such a rowdy crowd, and like only three people laughed.
Yeah.
What are you guys on?
Lolly agrees with you. Lolly says, yes, thank you, Ian. Yeah, that's interesting, those cultural differences. We have that here too with I have movie critic friends who are Black, and they talk often about the Black movie experience, cinema going experience, and how verbal it is, and how oftentimes in Black culture there's this call and response, right? Kind of comes from you see it in church, you see it at movies, you see it, like there's this freedom to have like a back and forth with whatever's going on from the stage. And so that to me is like, wow, that's interesting. You know, you're like yelling things back to the characters in the movie. That's that next level of, you know, participation or whatever. But no, it's so funny that, so I'm guessing in England, it's all just like,
yeah, I love the idea of that back and forth on paper, but in reality, I just want everybody to be quiet and enjoy what's been put on the screen. Thank you very much. I didn't think that was abnormal, because it's what I've grown up with. And it is very, very, very quiet. Like, the only time I've seen real, real excitement was at the end of Star Trek 2009. And that's because we'd managed to see it in like a really tiny cinema about 2 weeks before it was actually out to the public. And everybody just stood up at the end and applauded. So even then, it wasn't during the film, and it was the most English reaction, just very polite.
Nice. Little golf clap.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I prefer it silent.
Those English sports have that same kind of feel too, right? Like golf and tennis. Mm-hmm. Like they have very much a...
Snooker.
Snooker.
Snooker, yes. Yeah, very... In fact, you get shushed by the referee.
Right.
Or umpire? What does snooker have?
I don't know. I've never played snooker.
Billiards.
Castro says all of it. All of the participation.
It's okay to be wrong. That's fine.
Lolly adds that it is so weird to be clapping at a screen. Run 78 because it's one, so it's like run, right?
Sure, I would just go R1MA78, but
you would probably be right about that. No audience participation in a movie, which Jets appears to agree with, but then Breezy adds, if you're a child's movie with a 4-year-old, you should expect it.
That's fair.
I've told that story because I started going to movies late in life. Like, I didn't go to a movie theater until I was, like, in college. Like, you know, I think I was 19 before I went to a movie at a movie theater. And one of the first movies I went to was Hunchback of Notre Dame, I think. And I was excited to see this movie, and there were children there.
Oh, gross.
And they were reacting to all sorts of things, and it was one of those moments where I was like, oh right, because other people are in here and they get to have their experience and I'm having my experience. I don't mind it as well, especially at concerts where it's kind of expected, those
things. That's totally different.
But for a movie, as long as you aren't distracting from my ability to comprehend the movie, then I'm going to be okay. We also had a movie talker in our row, which is one of those people who's...
I hate that.
Well, there's two kinds. There's one kind that just doesn't care that there's a movie going on and they're talking to their neighbor. This wasn't that.
No.
The other kind of movie talker is the person who is talking through all the plot points, introductions, those kind of, oh, that's such and such. Oh, they're going to do this now. Oh, did you see that reference that just happened on the screen?
For a movie like this, that is rough because it's reference heavy.
Yeah. My oldest son is very much, he should go watch movies in England because he can't stand reactions in movies.
Yeah.
He's like, why are you laughing? Why are you clapping? We're watching a movie together. Respect my audio space.
Silent.
So. Yeah. When you go to a movie, I think about the people around me and what they're experiencing, but that's like kind of me in general. I usually think about the people that are around me and if they're okay. I don't walk in and then it's just about me. You might be surprised by that. It's true though. But at the theater, it's like, let people experience the movie. If you like laugh at something or you have a reaction that's just like a gut reaction, like a guffaw or a shocking like gasp or something, things you can't really help, they just sort of come out of you. That's one thing. But if you could control yourself, don't talk. Oh, I hate it. Oh my gosh, I hate it. The worst is when someone leans over and it's like, what did I miss? Because they weren't paying attention.
Why did you? Oh yeah.
Or like, who is that? Because they didn't come prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like,
you didn't do the brief, didn't do any like research.
It's like someone starting Lord of the Rings in the third one and asking who everyone on screen is. You know, like something like that. Like, ugh. Nope. Anyways, and I've had similar things happen like that. It's like, no. You don't get to. You just watch it. Enjoy whatever you enjoy. We'll talk afterwards. And if you have to see it again, that's on you.
Yeah. I want to put up this comment by Y-Doc because I kind of want to get Ian's thought on this too. He says, I think it really depends on the audience and film. Marvel fans reacting to Cap with Mjolnir, fantastic. Is that, if you watch those videos where you see theaters absolutely go nuts at moments like that, does that give you goosebumps or does that give you like anxiety?
Anxiety all the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right.
And I'll clarify because I will not begrudge anybody that moment. If you can experience that pure joy of wow, this is something I will never see on screen again, this is outstanding, I'm not going to take that away from anybody. Me personally, it detracts from the moment because I suddenly become very aware that if that was me doing that, everyone is looking at me cheering, and it doesn't matter if the entire room is cheering, I'm now doing something in public that is very noticeable. So I would, maybe it takes something away from the moment, but I would just be there going, huh, that was cool. And that's all I need.
I love that stuff, man. Mm. Like I, it was my, like I watched, so I had both experiences. I watched Endgame with a group of critics and not much, if any, noise in the room. And then, like, a couple days later, went to an opening show of Endgame with a packed IMAX crowd. And that packed crowd was one of the best movie going. Like, everybody was there. Yeah. It was like the energy and euphoria of, like, a great sporting event, almost. And it just, I don't know. I loved that. That was fun.
There is something about reactions in a movie that are really, really powerful. There's like certain cinematic moments that you would not experience if you're watching it at home. That's true. Mm-hmm. For example, one that I can think of off the top of my head, and I'm sure there's others if I really gave it thought, was the moment that, was it Vision picked up Thor's hammer?
No, that's what we're talking about. Captain America picking up
That moment. And then there's a couple of others that were in that kind of arena where everyone's just like,
on your left. Like when everybody started coming on your left. Oh, yeah.
That was so good. But I still just went, huh, cool.
That's okay.
That works. Breezy Lady B, when I was a teenager, we were watching a Jerry Lewis film at a retreat one evening. His boat was heading for the shore full speed. All the characters were yelling at him to jump, and he wasn't jumping. And I yelled, jump. Everyone in the room turned and laughed.
That's amazing.
There you go. The only time I can remember speaking out loud to the screen was M. Night at the end of, was it Split, where it tied it in?
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it was happening. And I didn't even, I couldn't control myself. I just kept, you know, saying very loudly to the screen, oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
No, you did not, sir.
No, you did not.
Nope.
It was amazing. Let's see.
I will say I'm enjoying the irony of how much audience participation we require for this discussion about audience participation to work.
It's true. White Duck says, yes, Aaron, no distractions. Cheer, laugh, whatever. Talking to the screen, no.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I land, pretty much.
I'm quite happy to do it to the TV, though. So there's loads of moments where I've watched Doctor Who and that's happened. And I shout at the TV. But that's because I'm on my own and no one's watching me, I hope. Aaron, are you watching me?
Always.
Okay, good.
Jagged says, when we saw Eternals, my friend and I started clapping when it got to the IKEA table scene because we were so tired of seeing it in trailers and in front of every movie since June.
My goodness.
This is something I don't experience, but I will tell you, I notice sometimes in movies where something is really funny and the audience doesn't react.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like,
it was in
that, that's in the trailer, because I'm there going,
yeah, that is so apparent with the IKEA. Uh-huh. Ball line, and it is in every trailer.
It's such a great line. I thought it was great, but I hadn't seen it before.
Not after the 15th time you've seen it.
Stop watching trailers.
Mm-hmm. Stop watching trailers.
Let's see.
My gosh, you guys are. While you're looking for a new comment, TRC gave 5 subs to the community as a birthday present. So thank you for that. And then Breezy did 1,000 bits, and then TRC did 100 bits. And you guys are amazing, and thank you.
Happy birthday, Danae. Danae's Twitch blowing up.
Trying to kick off a birthday hype train right now. You guys.
Lucas says, no laughing, no whispering, no expressing any human move.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's my person right there. Let's
connect. You and Lucas going to the movies.
Yeah.
In separate rows as well. We're not actually together.
Let's see. White Duck also says, I saw Belfast on Saturday with a theater that had like 11 people in it. I wanted to clap at the end credits, but nobody else did, so I didn't.
Yeah, correct.
Well, there you go.
Correct.
That feels right. let's see. That's Not My Name 2 says, I don't even eat at the movies. A bottle of water at most. Man, when it gets quiet in a movie theater, you can hear everybody masticating. Like, it is just like chomp, chomp, chomp.
Yeah. I don't do that. Now that I'm going to movies a lot more, I don't take food.
Public mastication is not okay.
Here's one. JCD says, oh, story. The last Star Wars movie, when the evil guy appears, my dad leaned over and went, I thought he was dead. Like, don't do that, Dad.
Stop.
He's not wrong.
Stop. You're embarrassing me. Stop. Let's see. Jetsmith says, I was the guy once watching Don't Breathe in the scene with the turkey baster.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to leave.
When the girl yells, I laughed out loud and no one else did. And I found it funnier because no one else did. That movie sucked. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Let's see. Jagged says, every time I say I'm going to stop watching trailers, I end up watching the next trailer to drop. That's called addiction. It's something we all deal with in one way or another.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Good run. Great good
topic.
Run.
Great topic.
You guys ready to move on to Aaron's topic today?
Yeah, let's do the A topic. Here it is. What is your favorite food to introduce people to? I have a new one. Actually, I've known this one. I was able to introduce both Danae and Ian to the loaded sticky biscuit at, which I think I've talked about on the show before, at Big Biscuit. It's especially cool with Ian because I've been very much looking forward to his reaction on American biscuits, the idea of what a big fluffy biscuit is and if there is any kind of comparison in England. And so that's kind of become a really fun thing. And then, you know, Danae, you said something about the loaded sticky biscuit tasting like the inside of a cinnamon roll, and it was really good. It just made me happy. Just made me so happy.
It is. It's just like if you have a really good cinnamon roll and you go to the middle of it where it's still really, I'm going to use the M word, just trigger warning, moist.
Okay.
And it's just like, you know, you got all the good stuff all chunked in there. Yeah, that's what it's like. It was like the inside of a cinnamon roll. It was so good.
So we'll start here. Breezy Lady B says, loaded sticky biscuit? Yes, this is at Big Biscuit. There's one on for locals on South Campbell, and I think there's another one on Glenstone. But it's just an incredible biscuit. They make incredible biscuits, and then they put icing, caramel, cinnamon,
cranberries,
raisins,
nuts, some kind of a nut,
and so, yeah, some sort. There's a nut in
almonds,
there too.
Pecan,
and maybe.
It might be either an almond or a pecan. But it is incredible. Pecan. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever tasted. So it was fun to introduce those to these two. But I got me thinking, like, what is that food? You know, like, oh, I have to introduce somebody to this food if they've never had it before. But I also wanted to, you know, get Ian's thoughts on American biscuits, like, you know, because biscuits in England are cookies, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been a big cultural point of contention.
It's been. Hey, Ian, welcome to the U.S. We want you to have a biscuit, our version of a biscuit.
We want to feed you.
And then it was like a train wreck of trying to find a good biscuit, knowing that we have a good biscuit spot here, but we were in Tennessee to start last week, and we went to this one place thinking that would be a good biscuit, but it was a hockey puck, and so that didn't taste delicious at all. And so
which
we're like,
would be a scone for
it
you.
Was a scone. It was absolutely a scone.
Like, sorry, we're sorry, this isn't a biscuit. Judge us based on biscuit.
I have these and I don't like them.
Oof, it was not good.
So it was give us nice, your first.
It was nice to finally give you a biscuit.
Actual American biscuit. Because you had, first of all, you had biscuits with gravy, which we do.
Yes.
And then you had a biscuit with honey, like an American biscuit with a little bit of honey on it. Yep. And then you had the loaded sticky biscuit.
No.
So you had.
I had the loaded sticky biscuit first.
Correct.
You shoved that right in my mouth. I was like, I'm not awake yet.
Aaron also shoved the honey biscuit in your mouth, and it was like something from a movie. He literally, Aaron is like delicately putting the honey on, and then he reaches over the table, like, here, Ian, try this.
Yeah.
And Ian's
like, there was only one way I could eat that, and that was, oh, you're going to feed me. Okay, this is fine.
Like over the breakfast table.
Is your wife okay with this?
Jen's over there like, yay! Yay! Iris is like, can I have some? So
yes,
yeah, it was good stuff. Really good stuff.
Yeah, so I got the loaded sticky biscuit put upon me. Like, no one else has any food in front of them, and Aaron just descends this plate upon me, and everyone is watching me. I was like, well, I guess I have to like this. But it was glorious, and there isn't a comparison. I'm sure we have the technology to make it in England, but there's nothing that immediately springs to mind. It is calling it a scone isn't really fair. It isn't doing any justice at all. But it just melted and fell
it's
apart.
Flaky and soft.
It's so good, and it's so diverse because my breakfast also came with biscuits, and I still don't know what the gravy is, but it's great. It's like a hollandaise type. Sauce?
Yeah, it's a sausage gravy. There's probably a little pepper in there.
But it was stunning. It was so, so tasty. So thank you for introducing me to something that I will not be able to have in my day-to-day life. Thank you.
We talked about you should do like a biscuit shop in, you know, you'd have to call it something different.
Yeah.
So we were trying to think what you would call this in England, because you couldn't call it a biscuit. You'd have to call it like
you call it like fluffy scone or scone
like
fluff or something?
Bread or something.
Yeah,
or,
flown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flown. I probably would have to fly them over here.
Flones.
Flones.
Flakones?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think people wouldn't understand it, though.
Yeah.
TRC says, I love introducing people to the game The Isle. Oh, wait. Did you say food?
That's fine. No, I get it. You got your thing. You want to make sure people know about it. I get it.
What's funny about that is she did. She introduced our gaming group. Also, this is someone from the Ranch Fam group that I RP with. She introduced us to The Isle a couple weeks ago. It's a dinosaur game and it's so fun. You like become a dinosaur and you like go around in this free roaming world trying to survive as a dinosaur. So like, I've got like a Tyrannosaurus. I've got these like these creatures that I'm trying to keep alive. It's really fun and scary. It's so cool. It's so Jurassic Park. Like you're in there and you've got your headphones on and all of a sudden you're this boom, boom. Here comes a Brachiosaurus.
It's amazing. It's awesome. Very fun. Wydock says, have Ian and Danae gone out for quesadillas since he came to visit? Quesadillas, as we say here in the States. Yes,
you want to be incorrect. We've had a lot of Mexican food, actually. I don't think we've had any quesadillas yet.
We have.
Did we? I've had tacos. I don't think I've had.
Yeah. Well, you had one bite of a quesadilla. Quesadilla.
Was that? Did I?
You did.
Okay, good. I have. The answer to that is yes.
Apparently it's yes, but he didn't know.
Jagger says, pumpkin cookies. My wife got a recipe from her grandma, and they are delicious. Soft, with a brown sugar glaze. And everyone we give them to ends up loving them. It's the crack of cookies.
I do love pumpkin bread, anything, you know, like pumpkin carbs or good carbs. Let's see. That Weta says,
I just want to say this will never happen, Jets Mets. We're never taking him to Golden Corral.
The Golden Corral. That Weta says, that sounds great, but don't confuse Ian. Biscuits are usually not sweets. Yeah, no, he knows. He knew the loaded sticky biscuit was a different kind of thing. So yeah.
Good way to ease me in, because my biscuits are sweet.
Yes, so, yeah. True. Yes, exactly.
It was a good gateway biscuit.
Yeah, that's exactly how I was thinking of it. I planned that all along.
Real Mikey says, I introduced my ex to Chinese food. The twist is that I am an extremely picky eater, and I just decided one day I wanted to go to a Chinese restaurant. She was speechless until she ordered her general
so's.
I love that. There's so many foods that we're going to be, like, we literally have a list of things that we want to have Ian experience while he's in the States, in our neck of the wood. Of all places to come, Nashville and then
Missouri.
Is interesting. Mm-hmm. But we have things to do. So we've got this list, and the greater, most important list is just food. It's like, we want to try this, and then this, and then this. So we're just going to be eating our way around town.
Yeah, I'm so okay with that.
Real Mikey says, Aaron feeding Ian a honey biscuit is the 9.5 weeks remake I didn't know I wanted.
There is definitely some fan art in there. There has to be.
Yes, I'm sure there is.
Lolly asks, Ian, if you brought Aaron and Danae home with you, what would you show them? Please say Yorkshire puddings.
I would absolutely show you Yorkshire puddings, but it would have to be accompanied by a full Sunday roast. Yeah, definitely. That would be great. You know, that's probably a really, really good suggestion. Just as a typical English Sunday roast. Chicken and Brussels sprouts and mashed potato and all of the English stuff that we do, the Yorkshire puddings. And for dessert, a spot is that. Just probably the most famous of English desserts with a good bit of custard.
I'm curious about how you eat eggs.
Really?
With the little spoon and then the little, like the...
Oh, eggs and soldiers.
Yeah, and soldiers.
I remember having to explain that. Yeah,
I would love to try eggs and soldiers.
It's great. I can make that. I don't have to be in England to do that. I can make that for you here. I have the technology.
I was trying to think what other English food I've seen or heard of that I would be curious about, but nothing's coming to mind right away. So,
oh yeah, and just to add to it, the Brachiosaurus that boom 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 walked by is actually another player. Just to be specific on the aisle, nice. So it makes it even more interesting, you know, because you know that Brachiosaurus is another person, and maybe you're like these little raptors, and you're gonna like get a group of raptors, and you're gonna try to go take down the Brachiosaurus, and how are you gonna do that? Anyway, thank you, TRC, for reminding me how. Nice. She also adds, I try to get people to try these health drinks at a local place here, mostly so I have an excuse to get one, too. Uh-huh. That's mm-hmm. why you that's do fair. It. Yep. That's the thing, is it's really about you.
Yeah.
You want to go back and experience it and hope that you can bring somebody else along with you.
Mm-hmm. I think we can go on to you questions. So if you've got anything you want to ask us, go ahead and start getting that in the chat. Mm-hmm. I will say that did make me think. I did try a new health drink just yesterday for the first time called Cachava. And this is not an ad. I know they are like doing hashtag advertising on podcasts. Hashtag not sponsored. Cachava, call me. But anyways, it has all this like superfood stuff in it, like all the things I never eat and my body never gets. And, the taste was, it's not like a 10 out of 10, but it's also not a 2 out of 10. And so it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, this is kind of smooth and chocolatey, and throw a banana in there. It tastes really good. And then I know I'm getting like all these vitamins and minerals and stuff. And
this is exactly why they won't sponsor you. That is the most lukewarm review of any product ever.
For some people, that's a great review, though. For some people who are just like, oh, like I want to drink something that's going to give me all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I just need it not to taste terrible. And this does not taste terrible.
Good.
So that's kind of the review. But I'd never had anything like that before. And it's got all this frou-frou vegan stuff that I have no clue about. And
Aaron was like, let me read you the ingredients.
The ingredients, yeah.
And
yeah.
like 17 miles later on our road trip, he was done.
It's true.
It was a lot. Maid Reaper says, we have this bakery in town called Will's. Has the best cinnamon rolls ever, and not many people know of it. So it's fun to show off. We're going to be doing that with a local bakery here in Republic because there's this really, really good bakery that's so delicious, and they have amazing, and like not a lot of people know about it because it's local. My question to you is this the same cinnamon roll I've seen pictures of that's like the size of your thigh? I'm curious. Mm. It's not actually. Big. We've been debating that in the chat for a while. So.
All right, on to your questions. We will start with JCD saying, you question inspired by a discussion in the Sins Chord. What is the one, emphasis on one, hallmark of a good relationship? You get to pick one thing that makes a good relationship. Who wants to go first?
Humor.
I think it's valuable.
I love that's being able to laugh with someone.
Pick. Yeah, that's a great first draft pick.
If you don't laugh with somebody, can like laughter is a really wonderful thing because you know you get to see a lot about someone in the way that they laugh, you know, like open laughter, just like it's just this burst of energy, and you also get to learn a lot about somebody on what makes them laugh too. So when people fall down and hurt themselves and their bodies are broken and they're laughing, you're like, oh, okay. So humor is a huge one for me.
Yeah, laugh together, just not at movies.
You can. Yeah, of course.
Has to be at home.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a good one. Ian, you got something comes to mind?
I don't know that there's a word for this, but it's being yourself. So like just that ability to have no filter and no, I don't have to pretend to be the public version of me. I can be.
Yeah.
Me at home. And I don't know that there's a word for that. But.
Well, the word may be along the lines of like trust, right? Like there's something about the idea of a relationship where you can be completely vulnerable, like vulnerability. That's probably
you know
where
what?
We're going.
Yeah, I think that's the right word.
You know, like just this completely, this place where you're vulnerable and can just be your complete self. No, I agree.
Breezy adds
like
the word authenticity onto that.
That's a good word too. Yeah, that's a good word too.
Here's one from. Oh, did you want to answer the question, Aaron?
I mean, you don't. If you don't want me to, I don't have to.
So, just, what is your favorite uniquely named dick?
Listen, you usually have
uniquely
words.
Named dish. My favorite uniquely named dish is unconditional love.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
What's your favorite part?
It's very diverse.
Grace. That's probably what I would say. Forgiveness and grace. Nice. That's a big one. Yeah.
What is your favorite uniquely named dish? This comes from YouTube. Medina asking. There's this
question.
Welsh rarebit. Having grown up with like. Not really interesting names for dishes. There was one that I just remember the first time hearing it when I was little. I thought it was really funny. And that's goulash. I just thought the word goulash was funny. So I'm going to say that one just quickly.
That works. Bangers and mash.
That's a good one.
Love that. So I'm not even sure what bangers are or mash is, but
bangers are sausages.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And the mash is mash. Mm-hmm. Potatoes. But
That's potatoes, so but helpful. Smashier. Mash is, you know, mash.
Mashed potatoes. Yeah.
Yeah. People might not know that.
Stick them in a stew.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain oysters. That's nice. A good one. It's a good one.
Eggs Benedict, because I just like saying Benedict. Mm.
Follow up question to our earlier conversation. What is love? We're going to skip that one.
Baby, don't hurt me. Don't.
Wow. Wow, you two. Just wow.
No more.
I'm just gonna put this up. This happened at a different time, but it kind of like looks like the head bopping too.
So yeah, there you go.
I need to throw something in a bin.
Oh no. You question from Jagged. We just tried a new sweet potato dish for our Thanksgiving dinner last night. Is it like a test? Are you testing?
By the way, happy Thanksgiving week, everybody.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
For those that celebrate. Yeah.
Bing. What's a new or unique dish that you're trying or have tried for Thanksgiving in the past? Preferably one that was good.
That's a good question.
Man, the thing about Thanksgiving for my family is we kind of get into that rut. I don't know that you want to call it a rut, because part of Thanksgiving
tradition is
you go back to the same meal because it has so many memories attached to it. So I think for me, part of the like love of Thanksgiving is knowing that I'm going to have the same thing every time. So we haven't had a new dish come to the table in a while. At least not for Thanksgiving, I don't think. I think like the most recent one is an addition from maybe 10 years ago or something. And that was when my dad decided to make garlic potatoes. And that was the newest addition. And it became an instant, like, this is what we want every single year. And so my poor father, every single time we get together, it's like, we want the same potatoes. And so he knows that's his dish that he's making. So anyway, it's not an incredibly complex thing. It's just potatoes, garlic, and a ton of cream.
This past Thanksgiving, I made an aloo tikki with some hairy chutney, and that came out really, really well. It's just
don't know what any of those words
are. No, it's a crispy bronze potato patty. There's the fiery chutney green sauce that goes
along
with it.
All right, podcast listeners, listen. You can't see the smarky little smirk that's going on over there on Aaron's face. He's just reading some menu item right now. Don't panic. He does. He has no idea what he's having peanut butter for Thanksgiving.
You know, honestly, we had a lasagna for Thanksgiving one year, and that was amazing. You know, switching out the turkey sometimes is fun. But, you know, my answer to this would be the first year we actually brined the turkey. Full brine on the turkey. It changed everything. Because I like turkey, but it's always been a little bit dry or, you know, whatever. And it was the best turkey I'd ever had. The brining just absolutely keeps it juicy and delicious. And yeah, so the first time we brined a turkey was a big deal for sure. Yeah.
Syrinx says dressing with oysters. Breezy mentions the Jell-O surprise from Aunt Grace.
I don't know that I want the word surprise in my Jell-O.
Or any food.
Having experienced that myself.
Is that a piece of celery in my Jell-O?
No, really.
Is that a biscuit?
No.
Why is that?
No, but she would add like peanuts sometimes.
Or
so you
carrots.
Know. Or carrots, yes.
Have you ever seen carrots in Jell-O? My grandma did that. I'm like, why are you putting carrots in Jell-O?
There's a story circulating around, rest in peace, Aunt Grace, that there was a Band-Aid in there one year, but I can't remember if that was a joke. Like, you know how sometimes the story of like Aunt Grace's Jell-O surprise just gets like more and more funny? And so like someone just throws out this idea of a Band-Aid one year and it's just like we all laugh about it. And then you wonder if it was real or not. So I don't know if that was actually real or not. My mother is actually brining the turkey. She says she's starting that tomorrow. So I guess we're having brined turkey this year. Yes! I'm so
nice. So good.
Yep.
Jets Mets.
Oh, wait. I want to throw this one out real super quick from Y-Doc, who says they're doing pan-roasted Brussels sprouts with pecans, and they hope it goes well this year. Me too. That sounds delicious. Let us know how it goes. Okay, Aaron.
No, you're fine. Jets Mets says, you question, Ian, what's the most WTF moment in the USA? Something that you question why we do it.
Oh, coming from a place that makes... Well, coming from England, I have that thought every single day. Oh, man.
About England or about the US?
Oh, no, just in England, as in we do a ton of stuff that makes me go, why are we doing that?
Right.
You guys like theme. So I landed in Charlotte in Tennessee in the airport, and it was just like, you know what our theme is going to be? Rocking. And just rocking chairs, everywhere, and mm-hmm. everyone's walking past them as if this is normal. And I'm like, can we just accept that this is not normal? And I was just like, how do I position myself in one of these and look relaxed and casual? I was like, nowhere else have I seen that.
Ian walking through the Charlotte airport. Why are there rocking chairs everywhere? Have you guys lost your mind? Who's using these rocking chairs?
Who set my plane to 1919? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Rocking chairs are always interesting too, because you finally get into them and then you're committed. But then the getting out is the tricky part.
I've got a plane to catch and I'm just so comfortable right now. I can't get out.
That's a good answer. Wydock, I'll just address this quickly, says, have any, obviously just Aaron or Ian, seen Belfast? Thoughts? I really liked it, but it felt long. I have not seen it yet. Do not have a screener for it yet, and haven't been able to, it's not playing locally, so I have not seen it. So apologies for that. I would love to give you thoughts if I had them.
Did Ian inform you about the game SinCord plays and how some of the Sins team ended up getting killed in the game?
I'm glad this came up because I saw the aftermath because somebody sent me a picture saying, sorry, Ian, you're dead. The soap did it. I was like, good morning. In English, we say hello. I jumped into the Discord and I am still none the wiser. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on either.
Passed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
It's great.
It's just part of our level of fame. You know, when you're this famous, people are going to play death games about you. It's just, you know, it's just part of what happens. You just got to get used to it.
I see. I think I understand what's happening now. Oh, boy. Let's see. Next one. Jagged asks, was there cat food in the Jell-O mold? Let's say yes.
Sure.
Let's just say yes.
Makes as much sense as carrots.
Lolly asks, who is hosting Ian for Thanksgiving? We're actually going to be dividing him amongst many families. He has an itinerary of where he can be for different courses. So we're just, you know, sending him all around. Mm-hmm. But
progressive Ian.
Truly.
Progressive Ian.
Ian, have you decided what you want to do for Thanksgiving?
Hide.
Yeah, that's the answer. That's good stuff. Let's see. Did you have another one, Aaron?
I don't see. No.
Okay.
No. I will say this. JCD says, I think you mean Charlotte, North Carolina. Yes, but he stopped in Charlotte. Sorry. He did stop in Charlotte and Nashville.
Yeah, but I did mean North Carolina. However, I did not know where I was at all. I knew that where my next plane had to be and I needed to be on it, but I could have been in New Hampshire. Who knows?
Yeah. JCD also says, Ian would be confused at a Cracker Barrel. We did stop at a Cracker Barrel. I don't think you went in, though.
No.
I did not. No.
I think he felt...
Lots of rocking chairs at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. In the ether, he's like, I don't know how I feel about this place. And he just stayed at home.
I sensed the rocking chairs.
Yeah. Well, they're on the porch. So you probably saw them. And like, that's it. I can't. Yeah, so if I'm you don't done. Want Ian to enter your home, kind of like a vampire, you put like the garlic around, stick a rocking chair on the front porch and Ian's literally, no, I can't.
How I know not to enter.
I can't do it.
That makes me sad.
Yeah. Remike says, Ian, what's the neatest thing you've seen / experience that you want back home?
Oh, that you want back home.
Aaron and Danae.
Oh, well, sorry. We'd love to come visit sometime. That would be fun. Let's see. JCD answers, probably American biscuits. Yeah, that's probably not far off.
That's it. I'll have it.
JCD says, hey, if you can join in on join their quiz days or on Sundays, we should probably at some point put the CinemaSins Discord someplace where other people can find it too, so that more people can join those games. I love that you guys play games.
Sounds good.
Lolly says, I joke, but Thanksgiving is my favorite new American tradition. It's so kind and genuinely welcoming. It is a great holiday. There's a real great feel to the Thanksgiving holiday. It does feel very warm. So, yeah.
Jagged wants to know what souvenirs you're taking back, Ian.
I did the thing.
10
where
pounds.
I filled... Yeah, no, I think I'm... Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I did the thing where I filled my bag so much and then thought, huh, what if I want to take something back home that I don't currently have on my person?
Yeah.
So I'm not, and it's so hard. Like I would love to take home food, but it's so hard to get that onto a plate.
You're going
to
grab a screenplay from the collection here?
I'll definitely be doing that. Yeah. I think the answer is still Aaron and Danae.
No. It'll be like an entire suitcase of like biscuit mixes.
Anything to declare? Nothing I'm comfortable explaining.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
There you go. There you go. A special birthday edition of the Morning DNA.
DNA.
Excited to do it.
Thanks, guys, for listening to the show. From my Twitch followers, we're going to be going and rating somebody here in just a second. So hang out with me while I figure that out. And Aaron, you can take the show out. Ian, you can tell people where to find you.
Yeah, Ian, where do you want people to go find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Whitsind, WHITTSINNED.
Very nice. You can follow him there. You can follow us on Twitter as well. Also, if you want to join Team DNA, you can certainly do that. That's at patreon.com/studioDNA. Kind of helps us keep doing this thing and adding new stuff. So that's at patreon.com/studioDNA. Danae, where are you sending your Twitch peeps?
I think that we're going to go to see Brush for Hire today. I haven't chatted with Brush for a while, and he has a very quirky, fun community. They're very welcoming, and he has a guest today. I'm curious what's going on. So Brush for Hire is a miniature painter, and you can do really fun things with his reward channels, and I dig his vibe, and I've also written him into some scripts before. So yeah.
But before that, happy birthday to you.
Oh, dear.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, gosh.
Happy birthday, dear Danae.
That's me.
Happy birthday to me. There you go.
Bye, everybody. All right.
Bye. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to listen to us shoo another dough.
If you'd like to watch the show live, we stream it on Mondays and Sundays at 9 a.m. Central on all major streaming platforms. Subscribe, follow, join the conversation on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or maybe
you can also be a member of Team DNA. Members get their own custom podcast feed that will include not only the Monday show, but all bonus shows we do through the rest of the week. Membership is $5 a month, and you can join today at patreon.com/studioDNA.
Finally, thank you so much for being a part of this fun little community of awesomeness. Remember, your quirks aren't bugs, they're features. Find them, celebrate them, and know you're loved and valuable for just being you.
See you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.